Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I am Ben Heck.
And I'm Jason Jones.
Yes. Not the founder of Bungie.
No.
Or that guy on The Daily Show.
I remember that was weird, though. Like, I actually, it was last year when they had that press conference where they did the gameplay demo of Destiny.
Oh,
and yeah. It was, like, the first time the Jason Jones dude had really done anything like that in ages. And it was so weird because, like, they announced, like, Jason Jones is going to pop in and play with me. And it was just weird, like, hearing my name said on TV.
I mean, it's about the most generic name you could possibly have.
It is, but
and
it's
I'm
like,
jealous.
I don't hear it very often, which is weird. So it was just like, oh, that's odd. And then, like, a couple of friends actually texted me because they were watching it.
It's like, you bought Bungie?
And I'm like, yeah, surprise.
What do you think about that Destiny game?
I think it could be interesting. It's one of those where I think if it was, you know, 5-6 years ago when we were playing consoles all the time,
yeah,
you know, it would be like the Borderlands or the Halo 3 where, like, everybody be playing it. You could just jump on and, like, fire it up with, like, 4 or 5 friends.
Yeah.
But we don't really do that anymore, you know.
Oh, like, something else we talk about in this podcast is E3 reactions. I didn't have much reaction to it, but
yeah, I didn't really even pay much attention to it. I saw some posts, and I'm like, oh, that's going on. Okay.
That's a thing. So, anyway, our topics today are, yes, we're going to complain about movies again. Because I talk about tech all the time. I also like to talk about movies.
And complain about them. That's the most important thing.
Yes. So we came up with a really nice, ironic, inflammatory title. Hollywood is full of conservatives.
Surprise.
The premise of that is they never do anything new. It's probably the most...
They play it as safe as possible, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Ironically, back in the 80s, you know, the Ronald Reagan years, Hollywood was very creative.
Yeah.
Very liberal with their ideas.
Yes.
But now it's... Hey, I consider myself to be... I would say I know above average amount about movies.
Hmm.
There's never been a period in the history of film that is... You might get, like, a Ben-Hur remake every 30 years. They made Maltese Falcon 3 times.
Yeah.
This is far and away, like, the most reboot, uncreative period ever. It sucks.
Yes.
So anyway, we're going to complain about that, and specifically how it applies to the new Star Wars movie, which was going to be more creative, but then they made it less creative, and now they're dealing with a bunch of geezers falling apart on set.
Yep.
Sorry, Harrison Ford, you're awesome and all, but... You're 50 years old.
I wish he was 50 years old.
Isn't Denzel Washington 50 years old now?
Yeah, he's beyond 50. I think he's like 55-ish, maybe.
So, if...
I mean,
if
he, shit, like Tom Cruise is over 50 now, too. Oh, shit, that's right. We were going to not mention him.
Damn it!
Son of a bitch.
Well, I suppose in about 7 years, Jennifer Connelly will be 50 years old.
Yeah, we made a pact that we were not going to mention Tom Cruise or Jennifer Connelly, and it took, like, what, 2 or 3 minutes?
It's a drinking game. When you listen to our podcast, I don't know if anyone listens to it, but if you mention Tom Cruise or Jennifer Connelly, take a drink. Or if you're Jennifer Connelly listening, eat a sandwich.
Yes, please.
Oh, poor Jennifer Connelly.
Hey, but she just ate, like, 3 sandwiches because she's been mentioned 3 times.
You know what we should talk about is awesome with this movie stuff is how movies don't even follow a formula anymore. Like an action movie. Basically, comedies actually follow the formula.
Yes.
Where it's like, establish the character, establish his shitty life, something changes in his life, there are challenges put forth to him, he meets a girl, then something happens.
There's
then,
like the big event. Yeah.
Yep, then everything goes to shit, and then he proves himself in the end. Basically, yeah. Hero's journey. Comedies follow that, even though they suck, I think, most of them. But
yeah.
Action movies are just a bunch of shit happening in sequence.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of special effects vomited onto the screen for 2 hours, essentially.
Or 2 hours and 46 fucking minutes if you're the new Transformers. Yeah. It's almost as long as Dancing with Wolves.
But it has Optimus Prime with a sword riding on the back of Grimlock. I saw that picture, and I'm like, there's no way that I cannot go and watch that movie.
I don't even know what to think about you.
Even Dale said he's going to go. Like, he saw that, and he's like, I have to go. And he actually watched the last Transformers. He said he liked the shit before the end. He didn't really like the stuff at the end.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was terrible.
So it was like the opposite of
our opinion. No, it was that blonde woman who would never date someone that looks like Shia LaBeouf in a million years unless he was Shia LaBeouf. Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no, no. I actually liked the last hour and a half of that movie, which is also too long.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
Oh, yeah.
But the first part was just as bad as anything in part two, like with that guy from Hangover pulling out the guns.
Oh,
like,
what God, the hell was that right. shit?
And Shia LaBeouf talking about his Medal of Honor. And ugh. Oh, I hate those movies.
But yes, Optimus Prime, sword on Grimlock, in. Have to go.
Okay, so
it'd be great if it was R-rated and then Mark Wahlberg got to be like his, you know, shit-talking self, which is so awesome.
You mean Mark, he turns into Marky Mark?
Yeah, like when he's in Departed and he's just a complete, like, asshole and it's awesome.
Did you realize he makes, like, three movies a year? I think he's overtaken Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, he's in a lot, but you don't really seem to notice, generally.
Yeah, like in Lone Survivor, where he plays Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure he's got some movie coming out. Like, does he even, like, take a break? He's got to be loaded.
See, I think that's the thing with him is, like, he may make three movies a year, but I generally only care to see one of them. So it's like, oh, he's only got one movie out this year.
If you went back to 1991 and told everyone that Marky Mark would someday be a top star who's in, like, three movies a year, you'd be thrown in the insane asylum. You know?
And yet, here we are.
Yes, it just shows that you never know what the future might hold.
That's right.
Even though they should make a remake of Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's the one they should make, but I still think that's got to have something to do with, like, Spielberg.
There's too much power involved with it for it to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that would already, to make like a 2015 one, which it'd have to, it would already have to be in motion, which means it won't.
Yeah.
Which is too bad, because...
I mean, as much as I love the originals, it's like that one actually makes sense to do, unlike so many of these other ones.
The reason it makes sense is, well, okay, if I was making a Back to the Future remake in 2015, I would have the main character, like Marty McFly didn't develop at all. I mean, in the sequels, like, he doesn't react to people calling him a coward. That's the only development he has.
Yeah.
You make him a socially awkward teen in 2015, goes back in time in 1985. A teen nowadays would not know what to do. They would not know what to do in 1985.
Yep. No internet.
No internet, no cell phone. You'd have to actually talk to people.
There's like 13 channels or whatever the hell it would be. You know? It's like,
they wouldn't know how to function, which means they would have to function in, they'd have to actually interact with people.
Become social and, yep.
Right, so the main character would actually learn to be a more social person by living in a time when all this crap's not going on. But one of the reasons they wouldn't make that is because it would be suggesting that the past is better than the present, which Hollywood would never, you know, posit in a movie. I think from a storytelling perspective, it would work. You know, it'd be like all the movies where people live with the Amish and learn to be in touch with nature and all that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they made movies like that. It's like, deprive a teenager of all this crap that distracts them. Not only would they be better drivers, but they would also learn to adapt in society. I guess we got off topic there. All right, so anyway, we're going to talk about basically how Hollywood is more conservative than ever. Then also, I think we're also going to talk about E3 a little bit.
Sure.
And some new games.
I imagine something happened there.
Yeah. Well, Peter Dinklage is a robot voice in Destiny.
Oh, really?
Which is Miley Cyrus's real name.
Really?
Yep, her real name is Destiny Hope Cyrus.
Why doesn't she go by Destiny? That's like a better name.
Well, because then she'd have to be in Destiny's Child, clearly. Which doesn't exist anymore.
But maybe it could again. Maybe she is Destiny's Child.
Why do I know that about Miley Cyrus?
I don't know. You're on the internet too much.
I need to reevaluate
my
life.
You need to go back to 1985 stat.
I mean, like, this whole maker movement, the idea of, like, someone hand-wiring a time machine is way more relevant now than it was in 85. Well, yeah, totally acceptable.
Oh, yeah. Makes perfect sense. It'll happen next week.
And, like, maybe the premise is, like, this scientist wants to go back and buy Apple shares. Although 85 wouldn't be the best time to do it. Like, 1998 would be the best time to do it.
Yeah, that'd be your time to shine.
God, you know, 80s nostalgia is really hot right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I mean, they're making a fucking Adam Sandler movie, basically a Wreck-It Ralph ripoff called Pixels.
Oh, I hadn't even heard about that.
Oh, yeah, why not? The premise is, and Futurama already did this, but it doesn't matter, is aliens, of course, aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Have been monitoring Earth for years, you know, the
the standard
times.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they think that video games were us. There were records of us fighting other aliens. So they decide to attack Earth in the pattern of video games. So it's like they want to be space invaders, or they want to be Gorf. So it's basically a flimsy premise to hand a bunch of nostalgia on it, so people my age will go see it, even though I have no interest in it.
Good old Gorf. Gorf kicked ass.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a game.
Yeah, 80s nostalgia is really big.
And Yar's Revenge.
Oh, like the teenager could think it was Justin Timberlake on the radio, but it's Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
That's Justin Timberlake. No, it's Michael Jackson. But he died.
But he touched little people. It's like, oh, did he? And then he died.
Mm-hmm.
Not okay. Dead anymore. Apparently that was 5 years ago. Jeez. Yesterday, I think it was. Saw something online about that.
Poor Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
He didn't really have a childhood.
No.
His dad was a prick, apparently. Then his sister got attacked by Justin Timberlake. He's kind of twice
right.
In this podcast so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I don't get. He's the one who did it.
Yeah, and she's the one that got vilified.
Yeah, well, she's a Jackson. You're a Croft, Laura. Croft. We have a title.
Go raid a tomb.
Was that, who was that guy supposed to be? Was that like her friend or her dad's friend or something?
I think so, yeah.
See, the characters in that were a little underwritten compared to Uncharted. Now we're talking about Tomb Raider.
Yeah, a game that came out, what, 2 years ago or something?
No, it was a year ago.
Year and a half.
Yeah. But then they remade it for all the new consoles. Oh, that's a new trend.
Oh, yeah.
There's no new games for these next-gen consoles, so they just remake old stuff.
Yep, because, yeah, they brought out the Definitive Edition, which actually was how I played it, was on the PS4 because a buddy
of
mine...
You're part of the problem.
Well, I didn't buy it, though.
Oh,
a friend of mine bought it and loaned it to me.
It's a good game.
And I loaned him Assassin's Creed 4, but yeah, they remade that. There's been some other
Last
ones,
of Us.
Too. Yeah, Last
Halo.
Of Us has just come out.
Grand Theft Auto is coming.
Yeah, aren't they, like, remaking all the Halos?
It's, like, 1 through 4, I want to say.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did see that Grand Theft Auto 5, right? They're going to bring out on next gen.
People were complaining about the dumb dialogue in Destiny. But, you know, that's like just like Halo 3, so maybe it'll be awesome.
Yeah. That's what was beautiful about that game. It was stupid.
I'm a thief.
But it was fun.
But I keep what I steal. I don't know what that means, and I don't care.
And remember that level was like one of the crappier levels in the game, but just because of her saying bullshit like that, it made it fun.
So here's what I want to see in Halo 5 or whatever they're up to. It's like Cortana gets like an android body, and her and Master Chief go to town.
Bang.
Yep. And then after he's done, he'll roll over and say, "Wake me when you need me." Oh, come on. It's just like, who doesn't want to see that?
Oh,
well,
my God. Man. Probably Bill O'Reilly or somebody.
Oh, yeah. Glenn Beck would be like, "These games are teaching kids to fuck computers."
They
Wait a minute. What about in the movie Her, he fucked his computer?
He did.
Yeah.
Not physically, but emotionally, I guess.
But then it's... Oh, wait. I'm not going to say what happens at the end of the movie.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah.
Say nothing. It's a good enough movie not to ruin.
Joaquin Phoenix is still an actor. Do you remember
he
was crazy for
right.
a while?
Yeah, which, big shock, was all just a ruse.
Okay, so, why is Hollywood so conservative?
It's because they keep dumping so much money into everything. Like, they can't just make, like, a $15 million movie anymore.
Oh, they can't afford to take a risk?
Like, everything's got to be, like... $100 million or $200 million, and so it's like you're sinking that much money into something. It's like, yeah, you're not going to be like, oh, here's this original idea, unless it's coming from like somebody like Christopher Nolan, who says, I won't make your next fucking Batman movie unless you let me make this. You know, they're not going to do it. They're not going to take a chance on somebody with that kind of money on the line. Why they think they need to spend that much money on every fucking movie they make?
Well,
because
there's
know.
So many special effects and everything nowadays.
But they don't all need it. You know, that was like the Halo movie where they were like talking about like, oh, it's we'd have to spend $100 million on this, and they rightfully realized that would be really dumb.
Yeah, it's like World of Warcraft. It's a dumb idea.
But it's like, do you have to spend $100 million on that? Like the first movie, do you really have to? You know, that's the one that because everything's designed to be a goddamn trilogy anymore. So it's like, you know, start kind of small, and then if it hits, then it's like, okay, then you can sink more money into the sequel and go bigger and grander and all that shit.
Well, like I was talking about, like how no movie really follows hero's journey anymore. It's just a big mess.
Yeah.
If you look at, like, I would say, like, one of the last, like, original kind of new movies, I would say it almost goes back as far as The Matrix.
Yeah.
But Matrix followed hero's journey very slavishly, but that's why it worked. And it was actually a low, well, not a low-budget movie, but it was an inexpensive movie for something like $65 million.
Yeah.
So it was definitely, like, not a full-budget movie. But they don't do that anymore, like, especially, like, Disney. Like, Disney, like, flat-out only makes, like, $200 million tent poles and, like, really cheap Hannah Montana crap.
Yeah.
But then I think it's like you wouldn't invest all your money in one company. Mm-hmm. Why sink all your money into the Lone Ranger when you could have made, like, four Sandra Bullock movies that probably would have made more money overall? Mm-hmm. It's like you put all your eggs in one basket, and then when the basket breaks, you cry.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's weird.
There needs to be more mid-range films.
Yeah, that's basically the takeaway. It's like they just, it's extreme ends of the spectrum is all that there is now. It's like, you know, you got your fucking Marvel movies that they're going to drop $200 million on each, you know, like goddamn Star Wars movie, they're probably going to drop $150 million or something on.
And they're going to try to make one of those every year.
Yeah.
And oh, God.
And it's like,
it's got to tip over at some point. Are people just going to be like just sick of the same damn movies all the time?
Well, yeah. And my thing is, it's like, you know, I love Star Wars. You know, I always have.
You're a prequel apologist.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not as big into Star Wars as I was at one time or whatever, but I mean, it's still certainly dear to my heart or whatever, but it's like, part of that is the fact that there's only, like, the six main movies, and they came out over a pretty hefty expanse of time, but now it's like, every year we're going to get one. I'm not saying I won't go to them, but it kind of dilutes the specialness of that franchise, because it's like, here's my annual Star Wars movie and all that. And
that happened with Disney back in the 90s. Like Disney movies used to be kind of special, but then they started making one every year, and that's around the same time they started, like, being less and less successful, because it just wasn't special anymore. And you could say the same thing's happening with Pixar.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, there are exceptions to that. I mean, like, somehow Harry Potter managed to kind of, like,
well, even that had break, an end. You
yeah,
know,
you
like,
knew it had an end. It's going to end. Yeah, so even though it was eight movies, it's like, yeah, you knew there was an end to that story. You know, but somehow they managed to maintain, like, this really high level of quality with each movie, which is really hard to achieve, and that's, like, one of the things that's kind of incredible about those. You know, and can these other franchises maintain that? I mean, what happens when Robert Downey Jr. says, well, I'm done playing Iron Man.
I can't imagine any other character in the role. It's like, yeah. That's what people said about Jack Nicholson and Batman.
Yeah, I mean, they'll find somebody.
Yeah. You know, they could just get Jeffrey Dean Morgan to lose, like, 50 pounds and boom. Go on your computer right now and open two windows.
Yeah.
Image search Robert Downey Jr. and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who was the comedian in Watchmen, and I'd be amazed.
But yeah, I mean, there's
also Lily Sobieski and Helen Hunt.
Oh God, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she's like the young version of Helen Hunt.
Yep.
But I mean, there's something to that. You know, like, one of the things that's kind of helped Iron Man along is Robert Downey Jr. And, you know, it helped. He was kind of an anchor for Avengers, and, you know, and somebody else goes in that role, they're going to have to, like, make it their own. They can't try to emulate him, you know, which is what Heath Ledger did when he did the Joker. He didn't try to do Jack Nicholson. He did, like, his own thing and took it in a different direction, and it worked really well.
We'll say one thing for Marvel, like, with their universe, they won't reboot it. They'll, like, someone else will become Iron Man.
Yes.
Like, Tony Stark will be gravely injured, kind of like Batman. Or the Batman.
And, I mean, the thing is, like, with comic books, the reboot thing kind of works in that. Because, like, with the comic book series, that happens frequently. You know, they'll just kind of be like, oh, here, we're going to, you know, we got a new writer, we got new artists, and we're just going to kind of go off in this different direction with it now.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, maybe the movies can pull that off, too. But I don't know.
I think it kind of, I mean, you know, the reboot happened because of two movies, Batman Begins and Casino Royale.
Yes.
Those were both, the Batman series and the Bond series were both, well, Batman did it a lot quicker than Bond, but they become completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, like Die Another Day when he was like surfing down CGI water.
Oh,
that
they had
movie
the power
was,
glove. With
oh,
the
that
thing.
Movie was so bad.
And the invisible car shit and the ice palace and all that. And
it's like, it's, remember it started out with him getting like the shit beat out of him in North Korea? It's like,
that was cool.
Yeah, oh, this is kind of dark. Like, nope, it's going to be, there's going to be invisible cars and all this stupid shit.
Yeah, it was almost like a parody of a Bond film. You know, it's like if Austin Powers didn't exist, just watch like Die Another Day.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that. So.
And then you had Batman and Robin, which is actually a fantastic bad movie.
Terrible. And
yes, but
pretty much killed the franchise. So.
Voldemort did amazing, terrible things. Joel Schumacher did amazing, terrible things.
But
rubber
yeah.
lips are immune to your charms.
Oh, God.
Oh, we're thinking about having a bad movie night like next month.
Nice. Yeah, it's been too long.
But not Babylon AD or whatever that term
oh.
was. You were all about that.
That was so disappointing because it had such potential and it just was just bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Boring, bad. That's the worst thing a bad movie can be is boring.
Not Breaking Bad, boring bad.
Yeah. But
hey, they could combine Breaking Bad with Walking Dead and it could be boring bad.
Ugh.
Or Talking Dead. What is that, what people call that show?
Yeah, there is a Talking Dead thing, I guess,
forgot.
Where they talk about
oh.
it or something. I don't
but
know.
But here's the thing with most of these remakes. The comic book ones always work for some reason.
Yeah.
But aside from, like, The Karate Kid with Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan, they're never successful. Like,
mm-hmm.
they, you know, like, Red Dawn. Did you know that was remade?
Yeah.
Came out. RoboCop, which was decent. They might make $50 million. They make less money in 2014 than the predecessors did back in the 80s without adjusting for inflation. It's how is that a safe bet? I mean,
I don't know.
Like video game movies. How many goddamn video game movies have to not make money aside from Resident Evil? They keep making them.
Yeah. They seem to have chilled on that a bit, though. Like, I know they're making that Warcraft one or whatever, but...
Oh, why?
I don't know if... Well, I think they're probably hoping they can tap into the whole, like, Lord of the Rings, Hobbit fantasy shit and kind of bandwagon on that, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's why it got pushed, is because they want to make sure it's after The Hobbit Part 3, the... There and back. No, the Battle of the Five Armies is what they're calling
Peter
it
Jackson's home movies. But
plus his vacation. Yeah,
but,
I think I'll just watch the third one at home on my TV again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to see that dwarf get it on with
oh,
the
bang
elf.
Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah.
But
that's what movies like that just need some levity. Like,
yeah.
If there's a scene of like, well, of course the parents would hate it, but you know, like, oh, I'm sorry to disturb you. You know, Gandalf could walk in on him. They would have that kind of shit in an 80s movie.
Oh, yeah, they would. That was one thing, like, I watched the Lego movie the other day, and that actually had a little bit of innuendo and stuff in it, which was kind of fun.
Oh.
It was a decent movie. I'm not quite sure I get why it was as beloved as it seemingly was, but, like, when Batman shows up, it's pretty fun, because Will Arnett's his voice. And he does a good job with it. And,
he should just be Batman.
He could have done it.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, they should have got him instead of Ben Affleck. That would have been cool. But,
because
he's got the voice thing, you know, where he can do that. Like the deep voice thing.
I am the knight. I watched Sucker
Hello,
Punch.
Michael.
And now I really do not looking forward to Batman and Superman.
Yeah, Sucker Punch, like, I watched that, and I'm like, yeah, it's, like, visually, I guess, nice to look at, but it just feels like somebody had an idea for, like, five different music videos, and then they tried to come up with some sort of bullshit narrative to string them together into a movie.
Although it was weird. I watched it on a plane, and even on the plane, the movies had a similarity because they both had Abby Cornish in it. She was also in
nice.
RoboCop 2014.
Ah.
RoboCop 2014, it had a good premise because it was kind of about drone usage. Of course, the drones were like ED-209s in Iraq or something. And then Sam Jackson was, I guess, supposed to be like Glenn Beck or something. He's like has a talk show. He's like, why do you need robots here in America? Basically, the premise was they make RoboCop to make robots look friendly, so they'll repeal some law allowing drone use in America.
Yeah,
and that's a good premise, but the movie didn't really deal with it a whole lot. Does that make sense?
It was just their excuse to have RoboCop exist, and they didn't do
it. It was
anything.
A good reason to make RoboCop exist, but see, that would have been an interesting premise to actually have the movie be more about, but it really wasn't.
No.
But it was decent. I mean, Michael Keaton, who was Batman, was in it.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And, that's about all I have to say about it.
So what about this, speaking of old 80s actors, so what about Harrison Ford and his fragility?
Oh, yeah. Not his frailty, your favorite action movie? Yeah.
Well, but it does tie into the whole like conservatism and Hollywood and playing it safe and how it can bite you in the ass.
Well, okay, so obviously they want to make Star Wars Episode 7, The Search for More Money.
Yes.
And so originally, how's his last name pronounced? Arndt? Michael Arndt?
Michael Arndt. Arndt. Yeah, yeah.
There was a screenplay that had been written by the guy who wrote Little Miss Sunshine and Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
And it focused more on, what was it, Luke Skywalker's children?
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden Jedi's going to, get it on.
Oh, sure.
Okay, here's a question.
They got to procreate.
Here's a question.
They're all gone.
I was going to say, Mr. Star Trek lover, if Jedi's aren't allowed to love, which makes no sense.
Star Trek
lover. Where do they get more, well, you should love Star Trek. Where do they get more Jedi children from?
I like the new Star Treks.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Well, apparently,
do they get more?
Well,
midichlorians?
Well, they don't have to, like, come from Jedi, actually.
So,
it's the same difference as, like, how two people that have sight can bear a blind child, you know? Like, things like that. Like, they don't have to be blind to have a blind child. It's just, like, you don't have to be a Jedi to have a child that's Force-sensitive.
But if you have a dynasty of Lannisters who are, not adulterous, incestuous, you could have a dwarf child. From genetic mishap. I think that's a subtext.
So is that the subtext banged his sister or something?
Well,
or?
No. Just because that had happened in their family for generations, which is why there's a Mad King and why one of them is a dwarf.
Well, yeah, the Mad King, that was the product of the brother and sister, so yeah.
Yeah. I still haven't seen the new... No, I haven't seen the second half of the new season. So I don't know if Jon Snow has learned anything else.
He knows nothing.
It's just kind of funny, like, how those movie quotes blow up. Because in the show, she's like, you know nothing, Jon Snow. But, you know nothing!
Yeah, now it's like, anytime, like, somebody has a picture of him online, it's always like, he knows nothing, is in the comments,
Denofgeek.com, which is a fantastic British movie news site, had an article a couple weeks ago called Things Jon Snow Does Know. And there were some interesting things, like that old blind guy at Castle Black is like a Darth Racky or whatever, heir to the throne or something.
He's actually a Targaryen, he's like from the same bloodline that Dragon Woman's from.
Whatever her name is.
Yep.
Sarah Connor.
But yeah, he's a Targaryen, so he's from who were the kings before, like that was the king that, what the fuck, Kingslayer. Took
killed.
Down.
Oh, yep. Okay.
So, Jaime took him down.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a hell of a show. I enjoy it, so.
It's they can have, like, I guess what you call very adult entertainment, and there's a market for it, but it appears it's not in the theaters anymore.
Yeah.
It's at home on HBO.
And God bless them.
Okay, so back to the Star Wars thing.
So yes, in case nobody, I guess, has touched the internet in the last few days or whatever, the big news is that, a couple weeks ago there was this thing that came out of England that, Harrison Ford got injured on the set, they had to airlift him, and it got kind of poo-pooed at first, like, he just, tweaked his ankle or something, no big deal. Now the big story is that he actually, like, broke his leg and he's...
Had surgery, had to come back to America.
Yep, and that he's out of commission for, like, 8 weeks is what the... official story is at this point,
which
but,
is pretty bad already.
Yeah,
but it could, like, be up to like 6 months or something.
Yeah, and so
but the The original screenplay was about new characters. Yes. But they're gun-shy because of the prequels. Like, people don't want any new characters. We have to have all the old characters. They'll all be back.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how much we have to pay for their personal trainers or how much coke we have to give them, they'll have to come back. Like, nothing's new. Like, we got to bring Kenny Baker back. He's 80 years old, but let's stick him inside of a tin can. Or Peter Mayhew, I mean, isn't he has, like, trouble walking, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he is.
I just don't understand. I mean, it's not like it's, like, you know, they choose to be in it, but it just, it's disturbing.
It's just so pandering.
Yeah, it's like, give us something, you give us some, you know, when George Lucas came up with Han Solo, I mean, he's an archetype, but still, he's like, I need a character, I'll make him a rogue, even though I think he was supposed to be a green alien at first.
Yeah, originally.
Like,
yeah.
Han Solo, I'm George Lucas created a character who is a fun, dashing rogue. It's like, create a new fun, dashing role.
Yeah. Even have him be fucking Han's kid, even though that'd be lazy, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Anything.
Yeah. And then have it be played by, you know, Josh Holloway. So.
Josh Holloway.
Who's Sawyer.
That? Oh, yeah. He would have been a perfect
Han
Solo type person. And he's like JJ's boy.
Yeah, I know. It would have worked perfect.
Yeah. And he was in Mission Impossible 4, which JJ Abrams produced.
Yep.
For like 3 seconds.
And it was awesome.
This starship ain't going nowhere, Freckles. You could say things like that.
Yeah.
Put Evangeline Lilly in it.
Yeah, fuck it. You know?
This is a pretty good Star Wars movie.
Yeah, already.
You know what? I would, even though he probably won't come back, I'd love to see the Emperor come back. Just because he's so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he could be a Force ghost.
Might as well be.
I'm a ghost.
Well, the thing is, it just shows, like, if that's really their logic.
Didn't see
like,
his body.
It's true.
J.J. Abrams is all about
screen.
That.
Yep.
No body, no death.
Yep. But that's the thing. I mean, if that's really their rationale, it's like it just shows how out of touch they are. Because it's like, you know, yes, I'm a prequel apologist, but I can also recognize, you know, they have their faults and whatever. But it's like the reason that people have issue with the prequels isn't because, like, Luke, Han, and Leia weren't in them. It was, you know, a lot of other factors, like just, you know, the acting wasn't that great, the storytelling
was direction
was poor.
Was weak.
Yeah.
And, yeah, which affects a lot of
things. Affects a lot of things, you know. It wasn't that, oh, we've got Natalie Portman and Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson. It's like, they're all great actors. Nobody had any trouble with them. You know, it was just how they were utilized and how the story was delivered. You know, it doesn't
have
any...
It was like the greatest collection of really good actors who were completely boring.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, unlike Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson at his best. He should have been like some crazy, like, rage-filled Jedi, like in The Fringe or, you know, like, something like that. Something crazy.
Every
other movie he's in, he's like crazy. He's never reserved.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's like, yeah, we didn't need to have, you know, the old cast.
So they had a script, and then they're like, okay, well, we can't do anything new. We had to bring back Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Empire Strikes Back, which I don't think is the best Star Wars movie. There, okay, we all saw listeners. Anyway, I mean, he was a great screenwriter. Like,
yeah, he wrote all sorts of great stuff, like Big Chill, Grand Canyon. You know,
30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, he hasn't written anything worthwhile in at least a decade.
So they took the script from someone who's made hit movies much more recently, and basically rewrote it so they could have more of the old characters in it. The old characters were still going to be in the original script.
Yeah.
But they just wanted it to
smaller
be more
roles.
Like, apparently Han Solo is basically the star of the movie from what they did.
God.
It's like, you know, he was pretty good. Well, I don't even know. I kind of liked him in Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yeah, that was the thing with that movie. It actually seemed like Harrison Ford was having fun for once.
Why didn't they just make that movie where it was like Olivia Wilde was like a gunslinger woman and like, she just fought aliens. We didn't need those other characters.
Would have been awesome.
You ever think Daniel Craig kind of looks like the guy from Mad Magazine?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, back to Star Wars. So, with the original script, if the old characters were in a supporting role, they probably could have shot around losing Harrison Ford for 2 months. Or if he didn't do much in it, you know, he could, you know, you wouldn't have to move around much. But by putting him front and center,
It's like, now what are, you know, I'm sure they're going through all sorts of contingency plans now, like, you know, do they hire some sort of double and then try to do the bullshit where they put his face onto the person
they did that in a Harrison Ford movie already.
That's right,
Temple
they
of
did,
Doom.
Yes.
Oh, I'll tell the audience all about this. So 30 years ago, or well, no, it'd be 31 years ago, when they were making Temple of Doom, which is the second best Indiana Jones movie.
It is awesome.
Yes. Anyway, Harrison Ford, who was, you know, 40, 41. Because he was never super old. I mean, he wasn't. He was like well into his 30s.
Yeah, when he first started out, he was already. Yeah.
Anyway, he threw out his back making that movie. And he had to go get like emergency surgery. Oh, history repeats itself. So he had to, I think he had to fly back to it because that was filmed in England, or like most movies were back then. So he had to go back to America, I don't know, for like a month, I think, or a good amount of time. So what they did, in Temple of Doom, the part where Indiana Jones is fighting that big burly guy, who I'm sure was Pat Roach, on the conveyor belt, that entire sequence was done with Harrison Ford's stunt double, who looks very much like him. And then that way the production could keep moving while Harrison Ford wasn't there. Because, you know, when you start a movie, you know, no matter what, the clock is ticking. And if you can't film a scene, like if you're Michael Camino, you know, you're spending $100,000 a day no matter what you do. Because everyone's getting paid no matter what. So you have to keep filming things. So
yeah, and you've got location, you know, if you're doing location shoots, you've got locations booked, and, you know, there's all sorts of things like that that are already in play that you can't do anything about. And
if it goes longer than it's supposed to, you have to start paying everyone like overtime. And then once Harrison Ford was recovered, they just got like close-ups of him reacting during the fight, and they made a whole scene out of it. But I mean, that was one scene, and 30 years ago, it just seems like my mom stopped by today, and I took her out to lunch, and I did listen to her talk about her laptop or something, which I fixed for her by turning it on.
Nice.
Yeah, you know how that is. Anyway, but I thought, I'm like, like, what if my mom went to England and filmed an action movie for 6 months? Like, Mark, she's the same age as Mark Hamill. It's like, that's just hard to fathom.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill's younger than Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it's like none of them are spring chickens, you know? It's
I have to admit, I am really curious to see how, like, improved Carrie Fisher got. Like, maybe maybe she's all tough now.
Yeah, like, did they put her on some program, you know, like, to get all in shape and lose weight and stuff? You gotta wonder.
Well, that's what she said when their news of episode 7 was first leaked. She's like, great, I get a free personal trainer for 6 months. She like, tweeted that. But, I mean, look what's happened. I mean, look. And it's because, like, we have
because of playing it safe.
Okay, anyone could break their leg. You know, that could happen to anyone. But if you have, like, a 71-year-old, it's more likely.
Yeah.
Sorry, Harrison Ford. I mean, I'm sure Harrison Ford is probably in better shape than me, but...
Yeah.
He's like,
you
know, bones get old.
Yeah. We're also not action movie stars, you know?
So. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But yeah.
Nobody's paying us to do that.
Yeah. if they were, I'd probably be in a hell of a lot better shape.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that works when you're like a movie star.
Why isn't Patrick Swayze wearing a shirt in this movie? It's like, would you wear a shirt if you look like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Why isn't Britney Spears wearing a shirt? It's like, wow, would you wear a shirt if you had those nice abs? Or what we were talking about earlier, like with Paul Walker and Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just crazy what they're doing.
So how they're finishing that one, I mean, obviously Paul Walker isn't 71 years old, but he died, is they got two of his brothers, and one brother is for the body, one brother's for the eyes, and then a stunt performer is for the movements. So to finish the movie with him, because they basically are finishing it as scripted. They're not really changing it that much.
Wow.
So it's every scene that he's quote-unquote in, they're filming three times, once with each actor, with something like six cameras to get all the coverage so they can digitally create it. Wow. And it's something like a $50 million overrun. And movies have something called completion bond insurance, which is where, like, let's say you're making The Crow, and Brandon Lee gets killed accidentally, and you have to do a bunch of special effects to finish the movie, because it's better to finish the movie than to not finish it.
Yeah.
There's, like, insurance for that. And there's a payout on Iron Man 3. Like, Robert Downey Jr. wasn't in many scenes in Iron Man 3. There's a part in the movie where he, like, I think the shot's actually in the movie, because this is in the commentary, of course. He, like, breaks his ankle, and he was out for 6 weeks. And, you know, it's a huge movie. They have to keep filming. So they filmed a stunt person and then had Robert Downey Jr. like do the motions to match the face up later. And that was like a $15 million payout. And Fast and the Furious is something like $50 million they're spending. So it's going to be a $250 million movie by the time it's done. So you got to think, like, okay, that's, you know, obviously Paul Walker.
That was an extreme situation, yeah.
But you got to think, it's like, oh, should we make a movie with, like, you know, a 71-year-old, a 63-year-old, and a 58-year-old in an action sense? I mean, it's going to be kind of like a liability. And then you get... And you have all these remakes and reboots, but then you also have sequels starring really old actors like Rambo 5 they want to make now. And so you gotta think maybe they're gonna be like, no.
Yep.
I don't know. I just have a bad. Well, like we called long ago, it'll get pushed back to 2016, guaranteed. Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
But I mean, it could.
It's just
it
when
could be worse
in 2016.
Yeah, it might not even make May 2016. Well, same thing with like Batman versus Superman. They were supposed to start filming that in February. Clearly, they had no script in place.
Well, yeah, and they just keep throwing more shit in it. Like, they keep having these rumors about like Aquaman being in it, and it's just like Jesus Christ. How
it's,
many?
It's. I am not. I'll probably not even know if I want to see it. I just. Ugh.
The big monkey wrench that the Harrison Ford thing throws in, though, is how Disney had like this whole plan for like, oh, here every year there's gonna be a Star Wars movie, and so they had like you know, like it was all kind of mapped out. But now, like this, it's like, oh shit, you know, the very first one, now it's like gonna move backwards, and it's like, how far back does it move? And then does that cause like this domino effect even with the side movies?
I mean,
they
might be
do.
Better off making a side movie first, but they probably won't do that.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they did, but you never know.
I mean, I just imagine what they're thinking right now, how terrible that must be. But by playing it safe and just throwing in the same people, this is a result.
Yeah,
like an old guy breaks his leg. I mean, 71 years old, that's pretty old.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's now, like... Clint Eastwood, that wouldn't happen to him because he's tough. He would be like, get off my spaceship.
Yeah, and he's like 84 now, so...
And Eli Wallach is dead.
Ugh, sad.
That's a lot of money for an arm.
He had a hell of a run, though.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was interesting, like, looking at his career. Like, I was reading, you know, his stuff today that was out there about him. And, like, he didn't even really do anything until he was, like, 36 or something. And like, fuck.
Yeah, he was old and...
like, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Yeah, he was, like, in his late 40s, I think, when that was made, you know. And that's easily his most well-known role. Yeah, it's kind of cool when you think about it. That's like, God, you know, he was, you know, not like fresh out of school or whatever when he got his start in movies. You know, he was already a ways along in life when he got going. So, not that being in your mid-30s is old, because otherwise it means we're ancient.
But 50 years old.
God, can you imagine that, though? Like, being, like, our age and then ending up being, like, 98, like the Eli Wallach was. Like, to live that fucking long.
That's like, three times crazy. Longer than you are old, almost.
Almost, yeah.
That doesn't sound... I don't know.
That's a
I think
long
I'd rather
goddamn
be dead.
Time.
Yeah. Better Off Dead, your favorite John Cusack movie.
Hell yeah. So, I want my $2.
I guess the whole premise is... You know, people do like new ideas. Like, give us some. Like,
put
take
your
a risk.
Balls out there.
Yeah.
I think, what the fuck's that? Like, Christopher Nolan, he's got that
Interstellar
movie.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to, well, of course, I'll go see it.
It's got goddamn McConaughey in it.
Space!
Yeah.
Like, Gravity. Gravity, like, on paper, it's like, you know, it didn't look like a good idea. And guess what? It made a ton of money because it's different. What?
Yeah,
there are
crazy.
People you can sell tickets to that are over 25.
What?
It's like, you know, they call it, you ever hear four quadrant success? Four quadrants are men over 25, women over 25, men under 25, women under 25. It's pretty simple, So most of the crap that Hollywood makes is like, you know, the lower two quadrants.
Yep.
But, you know, people, there's way more older people than younger people. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
It's like, make movies for them.
And most of them have money, too.
Yep, yep. But they do. And then when you see a movie like, you know, like I'm sure Gravity probably made most of its money from the older two quadrants.
I would think. I mean, the thing, too, is it's like it's not like they don't still make original movies. It's just like in the summertime, it's basically like this massive void where like nothing new comes out for like 4 or 5 months.
But they used to make big budget movies that were about ideas.
Yeah.
Like Minority Report, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Or The Matrix, well, which wasn't a summer movie. But, you know, Gremlins, Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, those are all very high concept movies. They would never make movies like that now.
No.
And those movies weren't even rated PG-13, they were rated PG. I mean, well, that'd probably be perfect.
Well, the thing is, like, the only way a movie like that gets made anymore is if, like, somebody like Spielberg says, I'm going to make this movie.
Oh, just like when Spielberg said, let's make Back to the Future.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like, the only way that movies like that would happen now, because he's got enough clout that he can just be like, fuck it, I'm going to go do this. And that's, I mean, that's, like, how Christopher Nolan is, you know, like, he... You really get the feeling with him. It's not like he doesn't like making, you know, like the Batman movies and stuff, but it just feels like he'd rather be making like The Prestige or Inception or whatever, but he does like the other movies so that he can make those movies.
Yeah, even like what was like Michael Bay wanted to make Pain and Gain.
Yeah, and they wouldn't give him the money unless they wouldn't give him the next Transformers.
Oh, yes. So explain that, I guess, to the audience.
Well, yeah, but it was like, yeah, Michael Bay, which, you know, he's made how many blockbusters that have all, like, printed shit tons of money for all these studio execs for years. He's like, well, I want to make this other movie called Pain and Gain. You know, simpler movie. It's not based on, like, a fucking toy or whatever.
It was like
$25
million.
Yeah, not a huge amount of money or anything. Pretty damn safe bet. And they're like, well, we're not going to finance it and back it unless you say you're going to make the next Transformers 3 movie. Unless you commit to it.
Transformers 4.
Or Transformers 4, sorry. Yeah, unless you commit to making another Transformers movie, which will spend $250 million to
and
make.
And probably give you $10 million to make.
Yeah, we're not going to give you $25 million to make this.
Well, that happened with Hellboy.
Del Toro, yeah.
Yeah, barely got greenlit. It's like, the studio is like, we'll give you $80 million to make a movie with the CGI Hellboy.
Mm.
And Guillermo del Toro was like, no, I want a real Hellboy, like, with makeup. They're like, okay, you get $60 million.
Yeah.
It's like, they'll give them more money to do a bunch of CGI bullshit than to do something cheaper.
Yeah.
And that's my problem with long movies, too, movies that are being too long. It's like...
Well, it makes them more expensive.
Yes! It's like, these special effects are like $1 million a minute. Like, why not have a shorter movie, less effects, less expense?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, that's like... I mean, that was the thing, like, when I watched Transformers 3, you know, and, like, the end half of it is, like, pretty damn good. I mean, it's, like, really exciting action and stuff, but it's just, like, while you're watching all of that, it's, like, oh, my God, like, the amount of money spent on that last hour and 15 minutes of that movie, it's just insane.
That's why they can get away with making, like, Transformers 3, like, the first hour of it I thought was just excruciating.
Yeah.
But people remember the last hour.
Yeah.
But why not just, you make... a 2.5-hour-long movie, 1 hour of which is total garbage, and the last hour and a half is pretty good. Why not just make a 2-hour movie,
mm-hmm.
and then just have 30 minutes of garbage? Or how about just a 90-minute movie?
Yep.
Nobody goes to Transformers movies for the plot or the setup or the parents. Just have 90 minutes of robots punching each other.
Yeah, that's all it needs. It's the same problem that the damn animated movie had, where it's like... it's cool, except for the human bullshit.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the new movies. It's like, well, just
humans,
have the goddamn
robots. Humans are cheap
robots
to film, just like Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm comparing Pacific Rim to Transformers.
I would take any of the Transformers movies over Pacific Rim.
I think you just lost all of our viewers.
Pacific
now.
Rim was just boring as fuck. It had a really great premise, but it was just...
the middle of it was
dead
boring
for the whole middle of the movie.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, we need to have a 2-hour and 15-minute long movie for some reason.
Yeah.
We can't have that many effects. Let's have the characters talking. It's like, screw that. Just, again, have a 90-minute robots punching monsters movie and leave out
all
the human crap.
Need.
Because your characters suck. Nobody cares. Like, all these. You ever notice, like, there's like 10 or 15
blank
of these like blank slate guys in Hollywood now.
Yeah.
We thought Sam Worthington was bad, but there's like 10 Sam Worthingtons now. And it's like, who are these people?
Yeah, they just like inject them into these movies. Like, oh, here we need some bland character. Throw them in. Because, yeah, I mean, I just did not give a shit. I could barely like stay awake through that movie.
It was just Guillermo del Toro wanted to make a Godzilla movie, couldn't get the rights, which I can't believe, but
yeah,
that's clearly what happened. Or like, he's like, oh crap, I spent 2 years making The Hobbit, now I'm not going to make it. What am I going to make?
Yeah.
And that movie, why didn't the robots, or why didn't they fight out of the water?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I kept thinking, is like, how expensive is this?
Oh, God.
It's like, rendering a big giant robot costs X amount of dollars. Rendering a big giant robot in the water costs X times 2 amount of dollars.
And then throw rain into it, too, on top of it. Just I mean, it looked fucking cool. I'll give it that. It was really cool and impressive looking, but yeah, like, the amount of money.
It's like, this movie costs too much money. That's why we kept making sequels. Like, just have it be dry. I mean, God. I know that sounds really stupid, but filming scenes in water, rendering scenes in water, is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have fluid simulation, and it has to interact with the models, and you also, it made it harder to tell what was going on.
Yeah, like that scene, it was probably like, that's probably like $2 million a minute.
That's why you have to have 3 minutes of boring talking. I got cancer from the robots. Oh,
don't
I
care.
Coughed. That means I'm dying.
Don't care. I'm just not a Guillermo del Toro fan anyway. I still haven't seen Pan's Labyrinth, but everything else he's made that I've watched, I've just... I mean, Hellboy wasn't bad, but
it didn't blow my... Pan's Labyrinth is definitely...
pants off or anything.
Guillermo del Toro film.
Yeah.
I think you know what I mean by that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't
Underground.
Underground, you know, a little girl, weird creatures.
Some weird fantasy shit.
Yeah, it's definitely a...
And that's the thing,
no
like,
doubt they, that he made it.
And that's the thing, like, the movies he makes, too, they aren't really my type of movies, either. So that's definitely a factor.
Not even
as well.
Mimic?
I have never actually watched that, even though it does have the nose in it.
I know, we'll call it, make this movie, and we'll call it, wait for it, Mimic!
Well, why would you do that? Well, because they mimic people.
Oh! I get it, I like it. Okay, well, why don't you leave your film cans with me, Mr. Ward, and I'll take a look at your movie.
So here's $50 million. Go make this.
Yeah. The Looper guy is doing the next Star Wars? That's cool.
That's the rumor, yeah. So that's pretty cool. And he normally does, like, his own thing. You know, like, he writes his own stuff and all that. So it gives me a little bit of hope that maybe they're going to give him some leeway with what he can do with it.
I think changing directors each time is very cool because you don't, again, like all these superhero movies, they just use the same director over and over and over. It's like Mark Webb or Sam Raimi or Michael Bay. And it's just, change it up. You know?
Yeah, it can give a little bit different feel to a movie having a different director behind it. So,
mm-hmm. Like Harry Potter
like
did
Harry
that.
Potter did
well,
it.
Well,
until
about
the last
halfway.
Four or whatever.
The last four?
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, you know, you watch Azkaban and it's completely different from any of the other movies. I mean, the story was too, but it's like you can tell that like a real filmmaker made that movie.
Oh, wow.
So,
hey, how many times did you make Home Alone and made $10 trillion off of it? Or Goonies.
I'm not saying that, you know, he doesn't have his place. Like, I actually watched the Percy Jackson, the first movie, the other night, which he directed, too. It actually wasn't bad. It was kind of fun. You know, it
Isn't
wasn't
the
greatest.
Like the Narnia movies where they keep making them for some reason?
Yeah, they made the second one. Although I was looking at it, and, like, budget-wise, they're reasonably cheap. Like, I think they've both been under $100 million each. And domestically, you know, they haven't set the box office on fire, but internationally they've done well enough that I can see why they keep making them.
Maybe that's what, you know, people are like, why do they keep making these movies? Well, yeah, if they make them cheap.
Yeah, they don't cost $200 million every time.
Then you can make more money, huh?
Yeah, so.
It's like you can make two cheaper movies and keep people employed twice as long, or you can make one expensive movie that doesn't have a follow-up and people only get one show out of it.
Yeah, because I think the budget combined for the two movies was something like $180 million, and then globally they've made almost $400 million total.
That's not bad.
I mean, you got to figure there's marketing costs that would go on top and stuff, but still, you know, they're doing all right, you know, so it's like, I can see why they'd chuck another one of those out there, but I think the Narnia movies cost a lot more than those, though, which is probably why they've stopped
Wasn't
making
Liam
them.
Wasn't Liam Neeson like a Jesus lion in the first
he
one?
He was, yes. Another mentor role. One of his at least three.
What about, did he mentor anyone in Taken?
No, he just kicked everybody's ass. I still gotta watch the second one, even though I'm sure it's a complete rehash, but God, I should have watched Taken again, because that scene where he goes into that, like, apartment and there's all those dudes around that table and you just know he's gonna, like, fuck everybody up, and he does it. That movie's just so satisfying, because it's like every scene he goes into, he does what you want him to do.
Well, it's
just great.
They catch him and they hang him on that pipe.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's in trouble now. Like, oh, I guess not.
It's like, oh, wait, he's Liam Neeson. Never mind. But yeah, it's just, that's just one of those, yeah, immensely satisfying movies.
I think that was what was cool about that was, like, Liam Neeson had never really made a movie like that before. It was something new.
Yes, yeah, there you go.
What? And people
liked
it.
And it was popular. It made money. And,
because it was very simple. He's a badass. They take his daughter. Everyone dies. Just like Commando.
Yeah, and it was cheap to make. I can't imagine the budget was much of anything.
I think that's something else that doesn't have enough movies. They just don't have simple plots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... Daughter kidnapped, kills everyone.
Well, that's because everything has to turn into a franchise.
Yeah.
So it has to have this big, convoluted, bullshit backstory to
it. Yeah, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies had that problem.
Well, the thing is, that started off as, like, a single unit. I mean, there was, like, some mythology to it, but they didn't go overboard with that until
the sequel. But once it was a success and they knew that they'd get at least two sequels, they just piled it out. Same thing with the Matrix sequels.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, like, both the Matrix and Pirates of the Caribbean were, like, just supposed to be one movie.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays they plan a trilogy out when they don't even know if the
right first from the beginning. Yep.
Or like, you know, Amazing Spider-Man 2, they like set up like 500 villains or something.
Yeah, I heard they made a complete mess out of that movie.
Yeah, and again, once again, they've made the lowest grossing Spider-Man movie ever. It's like, it's a downward trajectory. It's like, change something. Maybe screenwriters. Yeah. But no, but they kind of like, well, Iron Man 2 had the same complaint leveled against it. They spend all their time setting up the next movie, and you never get a movie.
That's
a big problem. Like, just make a movie that stands on its own, and if it's successful, then you could make another one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, end something. Give people a sense of closure.
Someday.
And do something crazy. Okay, let's think of, like, the craziest big-budget Hollywood studio movie that has ever been made and succeeded that would probably never get made today. Probably from the 80s?
Probably. Did they really go crazy big budget on anything back then?
The big budget...
I mean, Back to the Future would never get made today, but we already touched on that.
What do you mean by big budget? I mean, like an average budget.
Yeah. Man. Like The Abyss would never get made today.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's Cameron, so they'd be like, well, fine, here's money.
But that was like an expensive movie that didn't make very much money.
Yeah, it didn't do that great.
Pretty much Cameron's only failure, if you want to... Well, I mean, it's a good movie, but it didn't make much money.
Yeah.
I think they called it $50 million under the sea when they were making it. And Kevin's Gate, that was Dancing with Wolves.
Yes, yeah.
I guess they were wrong. They made Dancing with Wolves for $15 million.
$15 million.
That was cheap, even then. I mean, that's when that's when you're spending like $50 million on Batman or Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Even though those came out the year before.
Yeah, that's all location shoots.
Yep.
You know, pretty big cast.
That was back when if there was a jet trail in the sky, you just would point the camera in a different direction. You couldn't paint it out.
Yeah. That's actually an example of, I mean, it wasn't a big budget movie, but that's a movie that they wouldn't make. They wouldn't make it the way they made it back then.
Dancing with Wolves?
Yeah. It'd be a bunch of CGI shit. It's like, that's like when you watch like Lawrence of Arabia and stuff. It's like, that movie would never get made today.
Well, yeah, they would. Yeah, they did remake Dancing with Wolves CGI, you know, Avatar.
Well, yeah, true.
So there you go.
It already did happen.
It already happened. That's true. Okay, maybe that's a better one. Like, a big movie they would never make today.
Like Lawrence Arabia. There's no way in hell.
Well, apparently they want to remake Ben-Hur again.
It wouldn't be nearly as epic as the original, I'm sure.
The film and camera 65 part 2. Well, Ridley Scott's Moses movie comes out this fall.
Is that... Exodus. Is Christian Bale in
Yep,
that?
Christian Bale, Sigourney Weaver, Jesse Pinkman...
that should be interesting. See if he can break his stereotype.
Yeah, I don't know if he will or not. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what is a big cheesy 80s movie they would not make now.
Big cheesy 80s. I mean, there's all these movies that, you know, we love from back then, but it's not like they cost an obscene amount of money, I'm sure.
No.
Do you think they'd roll that? Well, I mean, Terminator was cheap, I guess, but could you see them rolling the dice on making a movie like that nowadays?
Like Terminator?
Yeah.
You mean like actually a new movie?
Yeah.
Well, again, it was cheap for its day.
True.
So you're saying like maybe that, so nowadays that'd be like a $35 million sci-fi movie.
I mean, this is a world where they won't give Michael Bay $25 million to just make some flick he wants to make, you know?
Which is so, you know, his profit participation on Transformers, it has to be like over $50 million a movie.
Oh, I'd have to think.
But of course, you know, don't spend your own money. That's rule number one.
And they make like billions of dollars off those movies. You know, it's like, come on.
Okay. Would they make Terminator now? Well, no, because it was rated R, for one thing.
Another thing I don't get, because R-rated movies have proven that they can make money.
Yeah, again, there's more people above the age of 17 than there are under 17. It's just simple math. But, you know, they don't go to movies. That's why animated movies make so much money. Like, you get the kids' tickets, and people our age, who mostly have kids, that's quite often the only movies they see in the theaters are animated movies.
Yep.
Like Frozen, which apparently is the best movie ever, even though it isn't.
Yeah, I know it's like most of my coworkers, you know, that have kids and stuff, like, you know, they'll talk to me about movies and stuff, but they're like, oh yeah, the last movie I saw was, yeah, Frozen, or, you know, like maybe the Lego movie, but it's not like they went to go see Edge of Tomorrow or, you know, something that would not cater to children.
Frozen, I watched that on the plane too. That had, I don't know, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It had a lot of story issues. I know they tried to make that movie for like 30 years, which is probably why it had story issues.
Oh, really? It's been...
Oh, yeah. They've been trying to make that movie for ages.
Huh.
Well, it was called The Snow Queen. It was a Hans Christian Andersen tale.
I've heard of that.
But, of course, they can't have a feminine title now in any Disney movie, so it became Frozen. I don't know what they're going to call Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella movie. Probably Shoes. Oh, that's their big new thing, is now they're remaking everything into live action.
Yes.
There's a Cinderella. I think they just greenlit Beauty and the Beast. Yep. Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
Which would now be called Coma, because Beauty indicates it's for girls.
So it's the Michael Douglas movie from the 70s?
Indecent Proposal?
No, there was like one called Coma, I believe, that he was in way back when.
Didn't we try to come up with a bunch of alternate names from Disney movies in a podcast?
We might have.
Yeah.
It wasn't like our glorious day many years ago when we were renaming just old, like, big movies and stuff.
Broken Spaceship.
Yeah. Yep, and then Time Car. Whip Guy.
Time Car. I don't know. The movies in the 80s just had such great high concepts. They were... I mean, you know, you had kind of like... It was like... The sophomoric efforts, well, not in a negative way, though, of, like, the blockbusters, you know? You know, all like, the Star Wars derivative movies, we don't remember that. We don't remember Krull or Battle Beyond the Stars.
Because they're all garbage.
Ice Pirates. Those movies aren't what we remember. We remember all the original stuff, like Gremlins or Ghostbusters or Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters wouldn't... It's not really one of my favorite films, but I appreciate just how... different it was.
It's originality. Everybody loves that movie.
Yes, they would never greenlight a movie like that now, even though if they did, if Ghostbusters had never existed and they somehow made Ghostbusters now, people would still love it. Because it was just so novel, you know?
Yeah, the closest they came was basically they remade it when they did Men in Black.
Yeah, which was also a really cool, refreshing movie.
Well done, because they took the idea, but then they, you know, twisted it a bit.
It's like, what if we made Ghostbusters with aliens? Yeah. I'm liking it. Oh, God, I shudder when they finally try to make Ghostbusters 3. They should just let it die or reboot it. They could call it Ghost Squad.
Well, you've already got a theme song for them, so they're good to go.
Yeah, stuff like Beetlejuice or Pee-wee's Big Adventure, or all the teen movies. They had, I don't know, they seem to have like more grit or weight depth back to them.
Yeah, it's because people still remember 16 Candles. They still remember Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Weird Science.
Yep.
You know, people remember all these movies. It's like, you know, movies like that are kind of in that genre today that come out. Is anybody going to remember them 25, 30 years from now? It's pretty unlikely.
Yeah. You know what else they don't have in movies anymore are, like, soundtracks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I guess Frozen did, but, you know, like, oh, it's the theme from Top Gun. Or, like, I heard the Adele song from Skyfall on the radio, yeah. Like, whenever the movie came out. Oh, wait, 2012. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, when was the last time I heard probably Die Another Day. It was the last time I heard Bond song.
Yeah, like a Bond
radio.
Theme, yeah, so.
And it's just kind of rare. Like, you don't, the movies always had a, you know, you had, like, Back in Time, Huey Lewis and the News, Top Gun, Ghostbusters.
Like Celine Dion's song, even though it grated everybody's nerves.
Oh,
but
yeah.
From Titanic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was like the biggest thing in the freaking world at the time. And
yeah, and you don't really have that. It kind of gave the movie an identity, and it made the movie bigger than itself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. What was the song from Robin Hood that was played at everyone's wedding?
God.
Everything I Do.
Yeah, was it Bryan Adams?
Bryan Adams, yeah. Yes. Another Canadian coincidence.
Yeah, the I Do It For You one or whatever. Yeah.
I also really like, my favorite part of Ghostbusters 2 is the Bobby Brown song. That's like the best part of the movie, if you ask me, because otherwise it's garbage.
Yeah, that movie's just not good.
I've tried to watch, I know I've brought this up, but I try to watch that movie about every 5 years and just can't do it. It's not good.
Yeah, it's just like Batman Returns. It's like,
I think I'm about due to try that one again.
Yeah, try it and see how it goes for you. Because it was a rough goddamn ride when I went on it.
I watched Batman
6 months ago.
Last summer, I think. Blu-ray finally watched. I still like the original Batman.
Yeah, that one was a tough sit for me the last time. I think we talked about this on the podcast. I think that was one of our first ones when we started up again that I talked about that. But yeah, I saw some list. I don't even know why it was out there the other day, but it was about like the Batman movies, and they ranked them from best to worst or whatever. And this schmuck, whoever they were, they put Batman Returns above Dark Knight Rises. And I'm just like, really? I'm like, how dumb are you?
I like Dark Knight Rises.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. Batman Returns is not good.
Yeah, it sucks.
There's a lot of really stupid shit in it that isn't too far off from Batman Forever, although Batman Forever is probably the worst.
Yeah, that one's just terrible.
Because it's just as bad as Batman and Robin, but it's boring.
Yeah, it's not fun. So, but yeah, I saw that list and I'm like, who is this person? And like, revoke their internet privileges so they can never spew their filth upon anybody again. It's just crap.
Yeah, it just, well, the plot was a mess. Although there was no plot in 1989's Batman either.
No.
There is no plot, too. That's the one thing that struck me upon watching it again.
Yeah, it's like, just like, oh, we've got Batman and we've got the Joker. Yeah,
Joker falls in some acid and then decides to poison everybody.
Yeah, that's the whole movie. Apparent reason.
But the soundtrack was amazing.
And then Batman's got like different vehicles he can show up in at different times, and that's cool.
You remember the scene in Batman Returns at the end where he rips off his mask to show Catwoman that he's Bruce Wayne, and the black eyeshadow around his eyes disappears?
Yeah, it's like, really?
Apparently that happened in Dark Knight Rises as well.
Did it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He's like, where's your eyeshadow, Batman?
Maybe it's part of like his actual mask thing or something.
But now Ben Affleck is Batman.
Yes.
Which I guess is all right.
Yeah, it's something.
I'm more concerned about Zack Snyder.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about the glut of characters they keep announcing that are going to be in it. It's like, you know, it wasn't enough to have Batman and Superman in it. It's like, we got to have Wonder Woman. We got to have Aquaman. It sounds like they're kind of doing what you said they did with like Amazing Spider-Man 2, where it's like, oh, here, we're going to like set up like a whole bunch of other characters. Like, like they're kind of trying to do the Avengers thing in reverse almost. Like, have the movie with everybody in it, and then we're going to go do their one-off movies, and then we'll eventually finally do Justice League.
Well, no. They're doing Batman versus Superman, then Justice League, then a standalone Superman, then a standalone Batman. So they want to get to Justice League as fast as possible.
God, it's so dumb.
So yeah, there'll be a Justice League movie before another standalone Superman.
And
or
they
Batman.
Won't make like a standalone Wonder Woman or something like that or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's dumb.
Pretty much.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know. I liked Man of Steel. Was it perfect?
Yeah, it was all right.
But I liked it. It's like, this is a pretty solid Superman movie. It's like, I'd like to see another one, but it's like, no, we're not going to just have another Superman movie. We need to, you know, inject, like, everybody else into it.
My problem is, it's basically a, well, it got pushed back to 2016. It's a Batman reboot in 4 years.
Yeah.
Which is, beats the record of Amazing Spider-Man, which was 5 years. Eventually, they'll reboot movies that haven't been made yet, in which case we'll get new movies.
We can hope.
So, any other topics you want to touch on?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to E3 much, so I don't know if there was... There must not have been anything too, like, earth-shattering announced at it. I don't know if you noticed anything worth talking about.
The console kind of remind me of politics. It's like billions of dollars are spent on advertising, making you choose between two things that are 80% the same.
Yeah.
It's like,
because they all pretty much have the same games come out for them. There's a few,
yeah, they're like
exclusives.
Sony shows Destiny for the PlayStation 3 or 4. It's also on Xbox One. Or Xbox One, you know, they basically...
They show Call of Duty on the Xbox or whatever. Yeah, it's...
It's like they basically pay a little bit of money to have the exclusivity of having a game shown in their press conference.
Yeah, because it makes people think, oh, I have to buy an Xbox to play Call of Duty. Like, some people might think that. Otherwise, why would they do that?
It's kind of like the illusion of exclusivity, where there really isn't much anymore.
Yeah.
I'll be excited when the consoles are dead, which will be in about 4 years, if that. And I don't know. The future of consoles is to basically not be a console anymore.
Yeah.
Like, just one system.
I mean, Uncharted 4... Uncharted 4 is probably the thing... I mean...
Yeah.
Knew it was coming at some point.
Yeah, I'd like to play Uncharted 4.
Uncharted
3 was a step back from Part 2, but...
Yeah.
I mean, you pretty much can't go backwards from Part 2. I mean, you can only go backwards from Part 2.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah, that was the thing. That was such a high watermark that... To even somehow attain the same level again would have been kind of incredible, so...
The second to Last of Us. The penultimate of us.
God, The Last of Us. That's a game I just cannot get into. I have multiple people telling me how amazing it is, blah, 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 blah. I'm at this point in the game where you're... Have you even played it?
Nope.
I'm at this part in the game where there's, like, you have to kind of get through this town, and there's, like, a sniper that's taking shots at you.
That's never happened before in a video game.
Yeah,
it sounds really creative.
Never, yeah. But it's, like, that's the point in the game where I'm at, and it took me a lot of effort, not because it's difficult, but just to force myself to get to that point, because the game just is not hooking me. And I have people tell me, oh my God, it's such an amazing game, and it's like, they're like, you're right at the part where it gets really good, and I'm like, maybe, but I don't know. There's other things I'd rather be doing.
You said that about Tomb Raider, but I didn't think it took too long to get going.
Yeah, I mean, Tomb Raider was one where... I think the problem with that, too, is when I first played Tomb Raider, I tried playing it on the PC, and that's a total couch game for me. Like, that's one where console is the way to play it.
I played it on my computer, but I actually used a controller.
Yeah.
So,
like, once my coworker, he got it for PS4 when they came out with the Definitive Edition, and he's like, well, here, I'll loan it to you if you want. And I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot, because that feels more like something I want to sit on the couch and play, and played it. And, yeah, I got freaking hooked, and it was awesome.
It was cool, because it's like, yeah, we never saw how Lara Croft began. Show us. It's not like we don't need to see how Spider-Man was created again.
Yeah, it was like when, you know, Nolan came along and did Batman Begins, it's like, wow, we never saw how he became Batman before.
Yep.
So it was like, yeah, it makes sense to tell that story.
That's to a fault, though, because now basically they, like, 1989 Batman, he's already Batman in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a flashback, and it's like, Joker shoots his parents. That didn't happen in the comics. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then, that would never happen now. You would never have a superhero movie start with a person already a superhero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all down, but you know what? It's so efficient. Like, what's his face? It's like, look, his parents were shot at this street corner. What do you think that does to a kid? And Vicky Vale thinks about it and figures out he's Batman. There.
Yeah.
There's your backstory.
Yeah, it's very it's very efficient storytelling, really.
That makes time for more Prince songs.
Yeah, just what you need.
Bob Gunn.
But yeah, so...
Yeah, the...
I didn't pay much attention, though, to anything
else
nothing that was
really
going on.
Nothing really blew my skirt up at
E3. I mean, Uncharted 4 being announced didn't really shock me at all. It's like, yeah, it was going to happen at some point. And
my issue with games right now is everything is still coming out for the last gen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they do that for financial reasons, but I gotta think it's holding the games back. I know it's kind of an obvious thing to say.
Well, yeah, that
was Watch Dogs. If Watch Dogs can run on an Xbox 360, then we're not seeing the true potential of the PS4 or Xbox.
Yes. Because, yeah, that was, like, for me, like, I actually just bought a game a couple of weeks ago, and it was, I'm really big into soccer, so, like, the World Cup's going on, and I'm all pumped and into that, and I always buy, like, EA, they always make a FIFA World Cup game whenever the World Cup comes around, and so I always buy that one, and I was like, well, shit, I'm going to go buy that one, because I know it's coming out or whatever, and I was searching online, I was looking for, like, PS4 version and stuff, and it would just not come back with anything, and I'm like, why the fuck is there no PS4 version of this? And then finally I found, like, on IGN or something, they had a review of the PS3 version, and they basically explained that they had interviewed, you know, the developers, and they just flat out said, you know, the global install base for the PS4 and the Xbox One, it couldn't justify them making that game for those systems because, no. You know, there's a lot of countries in the world and
you're
a lot of
about
them,
80 million consoles versus 7 million.
Yeah, you know, and they were just like, it just didn't make sense, especially for a game that has a finite shelf life like that one does. It's like, you know, basically once the World Cup's over, it becomes like a $25 game or whatever very quickly. And but yeah, so I actually bought a freaking PS3 game, even though my PS4 is sitting there.
God, I haven't bought a last-gen game in probably since Skyrim.
And PS4, the last game I bought is still the first game I bought for it, which was Assassin's Creed 4.
PC
did
keeps
buy
chugging
the,
along, though.
I guess I did buy Lego Marvel for it, but I bought that, like, the same day I bought it, and I bought that digital copy, so, because they had some sale, so it was actually cheaper to buy it digitally than at the store.
It seems like all the games that people want are late 2014 or 2015, like, yeah. Batman Arkham Knight is, like, February of 2015, but that is next-gen only, that is not backported.
Oh, okay.
So it's cool. So it's like, okay, maybe we'll get to see what these consoles can do.
That's the thing that's kind of interesting. You know, it's like it took so long for these new consoles to show up
yep.
that you would have thought there would have been some games there for them when they landed.
Yeah.
But it's like the hardware was early still somehow. And there really wasn't anything there right away.
I think when people look back on this, they're gonna say that the last generation was stretched on too long.
Hmm.
I definitely think it was. It caused me to lose interest in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And now the new consoles, they just don't seem that powerful.
Yeah, I mean, they'll still be able to put some impressive stuff out on them, I have no doubt.
Well, like Project Morpheus won't work.
I mean, stuff like that. I mean, I don't even give a shit about stuff like that. You know,
there's not enough oomph under the hood.
It's like, just make a cool-ass-looking Uncharted game, you know? It's like, I've seen how Uncharted looks on the PS3. I know they can make it look even more badass on the PS4.
Yeah.
That's all I'm looking for. I don't need it to...
Well, you know, Uncharted 4 will definitely be next-gen only.
Yeah, I'm
that
sure.
That wasn't Second Son or Infamous Second Son? That wasn't...
Yeah, that was actually... Okay. Coworker got that. I'll borrow that from him at some point, because they had it on, like, Amazon's gold box deal one day, and I think it was, like, $30 or $35, so he snagged it. And he said it... Yeah, he said it looks really cool and all that. Like, technically it's cool, but yeah, like, story-wise, it's fairly weak. Mm-hmm. But I read a... article where they were talking to the developers about that, and they were talking about how they did like all the water effects because it takes place in Seattle, so there's like a lot of rain and, you know, there's water on the ground and puddles and things, and they put like tons of time into like making all that like as realistic as possible and stuff, and kind of having changing weather conditions in the game, and it sounded kind of neat. So I liked the first one of those games, and yeah. The second one I played it a little, but I just couldn't get into it. So yeah, I don't know. I'm still sitting on the sidelines pretty much. Like my PS4, I use it quite a bit, but it's just to, yeah, fire up Netflix.
I use my PlayStation 3 still because I have the remote.
Yeah.
Maybe that works on the PlayStation 4, I don't know.
I tried and I could not get mine to bind with it, which I thought was horseshit.
Well, I'm not interested then.
Because I was just like, fuck this. It's a goddamn Sony peripheral and it's fucking Bluetooth. Why the hell?
Because it's a Sony peripheral.
Yeah, I know. But I was just like, this is horseshit. Because I was like, oh yeah, this should just, you know, piece of cake should be able to do this. And it's like, nope. Lame.
What about Cortana? Do you have Cortana on your phone?
Not yet.
Ah.
I didn't do the whole developer update thing. A coworker of mine, though, he put it on his phone, like, right when that came out.
Yeah.
He said it's, like, really, really impressive. Like, he says it's better than Siri, in
can
his
you,
opinion.
Can you set an alarm by saying, wake me when you need me?
I don't know. Maybe. I'll have to ask him, but... But I know he said that... Because, like, his wife's got an iPhone, and so he can kind of compare the two, and he said it's, like, superior to Siri, in his opinion.
Hmm.
Although, of course, you know, the new iPhone's coming out, and I'm sure they'll do a bunch of improvements to Siri and balance it out or something, but... He said he was really impressed with 8.1, so we'll see. Hopefully it'll land for my phone soon, because I think it was supposed to become, like, the, you know, RTM of it was supposed to go out, like, yesterday. But then, of course, it becomes, like, a carrier thing where, you
know, AT&T's
got to do their horse shit and, you know, make it so it's available. And then there's the stuff like Nokia... Like, if you got a Nokia phone like I do, Nokia does a lot of stuff that's kind of like their own pack that'll come along with it.
Yeah.
So, we'll see, but I've got no complaints so far, and it sounds like it'll only get better, so.
That's probably about all the time we have for today.
More than enough time.
Yes. If you have any topics you'd like us to talk about, such as Jennifer Connelly, please leave a comment below.
Yeah, if you want us to talk about something that isn't, like, remakes, reboots.
See, we're rebooting our podcast. It's like this is the same thing.
That's true, yeah.
We should just start over podcast number one, you know, like comic books do.
Well, then we could do intros again.
Oh, yeah, because I have plenty of time to do that.
All right. We have a new cast of characters. You know, we can pull in, you know, Allison.
Oh, yeah, Allison could do a voice.
And, shit, I can't remember his name.
Felix?
Felix, yes.
Yeah, maybe. Chuck could do a voice.
Yeah. I gotta go listen to those again. Those were a damn good time.
Yeah, those were pretty well done.
Yeah.
My favorite was Half-Life. It's a Wonderful Half-Life.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite one. I don't know. That one was okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. The ones I always remember, like, the video pirates shit and, like, Tetris Island.
Tetris the movie.
And
Strap-Hall to the blocks. Yeah.
I must face Reek.
Hey, you know what would be fun to do? I probably have those scripts someplace. Maybe we could, like, find a script and, like, just read it.
We could remake it.
Yeah. It would be like a line reading.
Yeah. But it could be like a reboot, because that's easier than coming up with new content.
Yes.
We could do it ourselves.
We've been corrupted by Hollywood. We're going to make reboots.
Oh, God.
It's the Ben Heck Show, now with more explosions.
2.0.
All right, well, we'll talk to you next time.
Adios.